The study for tonight is study 186. In our ongoing study of wisdom, along with the Workman's Interlinear that Jack Eberle had left us, so graciously left us with, and we're in 2 Timothy. And last week we kind of had an introduction to Paul's last writing that he wrote, the second epistle to Timothy. And we done a lot of reading and didn't get involved too much, but I did go down and look at the first verse and just kind of quickly read it. But we're going to start and do it a little better deal, maybe tonight, and do verse 1 and 2. But I, in my notes that I did, I put in my notebook, I put 2 Timothy, the departure, full stop. Because this is what it's going to be. At the end of this epistle here, for the Apostle Paul, it is going to be the full stop. He didn't retire. He didn't back away. He didn't do anything different. He just understood that his time was coming to an end.
Amen.
And I think it might be a grand thing that he knew that and to realize that. And so we're going to go back and pick up with this again, and I'm going to read out of the first verse again out of the King James Version, and then I'll read my notes again a little quicker than I did last week, and then we'll get involved with what Jack has for us out of the Workman's Interlinear, and because I want to give it is full of thought as I can in my feeble mind and to understand and to realize that how important all this is, truly. And it is very important. And that's the reason I went from 1 Timothy to Titus and then back to 2 Timothy, because I felt like this was a better way to look at it. For us to do. So we'll just go ahead and get started now. I'll read verse 1 again. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. So here we have Jesus mentioned twice, but first it is Jesus Christ as an apostle, and the second part of it is Christ Jesus. We ought to take note of that. That's something that we ought to talk about a little bit. And I guess my notes explains part of it somewhat. We'll get started back with it again like we normally do. And then we'll read Jack's and the Koine, and then we'll look at all of the scripture here that Brother Jack Eberle left with us to read and to digest and to see and understand a little bit about what Paul had to say in the last times that he was going to pick up the pen to write to man. And it's all about the will of Christ, the will of the Father, and that he did through his Son for us. And to realize and to understand that that is a hope that's, it's hope, I put it hope beyond hope. Because you see, the finished work of Christ is not finished yet. That's just like when you read in Genesis 1 and 2, where it says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. But in the notes in the Companion Bible, it says in chapter 2, but not yet. Meaning that that hadn't been said yet. You know, according to a reference there of the enmity between the seeds. It hadn't been, that hadn't been settled yet with the sense that mankind is going to get involved in this thing now because of what happened between Eve and Satan and then Adam and Eve. So we look at these things as being finished, but it's not yet because Christ's work is not done until he appears. And once he appears, then it will be done. It will be finished. To the fact of what we know of things now. Because we'll have a new body, we'll have a new life. And I don't know all the entailments of all that. But I'm looking forward to it. For sure.
Amen.
And to realize that my wife, too, is, you know, that's certainly going to involve her again. So, thinking about Mother's Day and all this week, it's really locked in on me. It's got me feeling like, gee, I don't know. You know, I don't even know if I'm qualified to even get started, but here we go. And so we read the introduction on page 1808 and then we did the appendage on 189 last time. And, but here's my notes. Or my note on verse 1. Paul, an apostle. Well, everybody's not called an apostle. Because, you know, the word apostle came along, I think, somewhat later, especially concerning this mystery truth that Paul has been teaching these young men of in the last seven, out of the last seven books of the epistles that he written. At least six of them anyway. I don't know about Hebrews because we don't have Hebrews involved in this. It was a little earlier. But Paul looked at the Hebrew kids and he says, look, you guys have hope, but it's a different hope. And in that hope that you have, you're still on the milk. You're not into the meat of it. And he says, so therefore, this is the reason why I'm here. I'm here to get you into the meat. And so here we go. We're getting in now to the real meat. We're getting almost down to the T-bone of the meat here. Because this is the last round that we got. Paul, an apostle. Called and converted from, as Jack calls it, wrong side out. Because he had been wrong side out. Because he was out there to stomp out this Jesus thing for a while. And that never left him. I mean, of course, the conversion did, caused him to leave the position he was in to where when he was struck down on the Damascus Road and blinded, he had to come to a different understanding. And certainly he did. Being wrong side out to become the end person. And Paul certainly was the end person with this new understanding, because it was given to him to give to the world. It had been hid ages and generations. And all of a sudden, Paul started telling these people about something new, because something happened in Acts 28. God reached down, as Ronnie says, and he got the cord and he unplugged the electricity there. He stopped the clock in that sense. And it was supposed to be AD 85. But here we are now, almost 2,000 years beyond that. But not yet. Just like it was, and I said in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. They were told to multiply and replenish the earth, but not yet. And so Paul's writings here about the Lord Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, as we look at it, we realize it, that what is left to do here is not yet. Because you see, when Christ appears, that's when the not yet is not going to be any longer a problem. Because you see, time for mankind is still going on. Here we go. So he's called and converted from being wrong side out to be the end person concerning this new present dispensation of the mystery of Christ. Or of Jesus Christ by or through the will of God, according to the kata that you find in the appendages, in appendage 104, where we get the different relationships of our English version of what we read. And this kata there, in basic terms, means this. It is an immediate purpose, but it's also an ultimate purpose. The immediate purpose is to testify to those that don't have the hope that we have. And to testify of that hope to those individuals, that is an immediate purpose today, because it's not going to last a long, long time, I don't think. The way we look out a door, the way we turn on the TV, or the way we turn on the radio, or whatever we do, these things that Christ, that God had proclaimed it was going to happen toward the end times, is happening. And you say, yeah, and you say, well, Cecil, the word has been from the beginning. It's near. Well, it's really near now, if you want to call it that. And because the word ketos there gives us a word that it means it's close or near. An immediate purpose and an ultimate purpose. And that's when I said, okay, if you go back to appendage 104 and you look there, you've got a circle in there, a little circle in an inset box. And you've got lines coming from that circle. And the circle is God. If you want to look at it that way, that circle is God, and all these different places that's drawn from the center of this circle, that is of God or from God.
Yeah, the understanding of that appendix would take you light years.
It's
all the prepositions.
You know, all the things that goes along with it is mind-boggling sometimes. But you can have a vertical line drawn through the center, which we call through the center and both, and it goes out beyond the circle from the center straight across, and it divides the circle in half basically, because you've got an up and down situation with God. And you got a vertical line that can bring this thing into four parts. But actually, the two parts is what we need to look at with God in our life, because the out from the center of God, the greatest thing that I can give you to understand that is what Paul was looking for in Philippians when he said, I want a resurrection like Christ Jesus. I want an out resurrection, an ek resurrection, or an out ek anastasia, out from among the living, or out from among the dead, either way you want to put it. He wanted a resurrection like Christ's resurrection, and it was one that was, of course, Christ was immediate. It was 3 days and three nights in the grave, like Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, of the fish. But we get the great gifts of God to him, and he may just go to the edge of that line and stop. But as the line goes on, that is time. It's still time, and it's still between God and man. And that's the reason I say not yet, because that period is something that, you know, we can't come down to a definitive time of that time, because with people it's different, because people are dying every day. But yet, we get the gifts of his great grace daily. And we ought to thank him daily for it. Sometimes our prayer life gets a little slack. Just like our witnessing sometimes gets a little slack. So, when you get out beyond the circle, then there's a reaching out by God to mankind. And that's where I got the study we did a few studies ago, talking about the word gen, G-E-N, like Genesis, for example. That's what God gave to us to allow us to realize what God has done for man, whether we deserve it or not. He's the generator. All the power comes from God. And certainly without it, we're basically naked. We're basically unclothed. Because he is responsible, or he feels that responsibility to mankind, because we have been put in that enmity slot between God and Satan. Because what happened in Genesis made that possible. And so, here we are. We're still in the battle between truth and the lie. And it ain't over yet. I'll just tell you that right now. It's not over yet. But that's an ultimate purpose. Because when the Son of God takes care of all these things and puts all this stuff under his feet, that's when it's going to be fulfilled. It's going to be a full purpose and complete. Okay. The promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, is the word in the Greek, omma, O-M-M-A. Omma is here today, but it's not finished. But this is what Paul is doing with these epistles to these young men and these people, and to wherever he goes, he has a witness and a teaching. And the witness and the teaching is the things that he don't want us to forget. Because he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. That is an important part of this whole verse of scripture here. But the verse of scripture itself, Paul's apostle of Jesus Christ, but his life is in Christ Jesus. Do you get that? Do you see it? It's there in writing. It is there just as plain is anything I've ever seen in my life. Christ Jesus was the one that Paul was dealing with as a witness to. But Jesus Christ is that a man has or can get from God and from his great grace and understanding. When he comes to a point in his life that he needs to change it and to get himself right side back. So you got a flip flop here. And one of them is an apostle and the other one is a witness and a teacher of things that thou hast heard and learned and has been assured of. And if you can be assured of it, then that will give you hope. And that's what we're here for. We're here for, to establish each other's hope in Christ Jesus. Okay. Having said all this again, and I don't want to bore you with it, but still, it's something that's very, very important the way it's written and the way it's put forward. We're going to go to Jack Workman's Interlinear in 2 Timothy, and we're going to read down from the Koine Greek, and of course it's been changed back into English, but it says, Paul, apostle of Christ Jesus, through will of God, according to promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To bring it down to the more useful uses, I guess, of the modern English, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Jesus Christ. So you see, these things that were brought about maybe in AD 62, AD 63, that Paul was writing here back before his departure, gives a lot of things to dig into and look at. And so this is Jack's notes. Paul indeed was apostle by God's will. It's God's will that he was made an apostle. You've got elders and prophets. And a lot of the prophets died because they were giving the message that God wanted them to give, and the people didn't like it. They couldn't do anything with God, but they could certainly do something to the messenger. And so this is the situation that you have. Sometimes it cost them their life. And it says, Christ, when he ascended on high, he appointed some apostles. In Ephesians 4:11, you can take that to the bank. And Paul was one of these apostles. He was called to administer the mystery of the body of Christ. A lot of times preachers will get up and say, are you a member of the body of Christ? And they never tell you what it is or what it includes or entails. Praise God, I met one that could tell me. Or he didn't really tell me, because he would put it into another question, and he says, does that make sense? Because he always answered a question with another question. And I have been accused of that myself. And I said, do I do that? And they said, oh yeah, you do it. I said, whoo! Praise God. This is God's work. He was knocked down on the way to Damascus, and he was made God's servant. Now, Ronnie's been doing a study in Revelations, and it talks in the last chapter of Revelations about some are servants of God. Well, what about all the... You read about principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. Well, in the throne room of God, these, whatever they are, these entities,
beings,
if you will, have really been interested all these 2,000 years now about what's happening here with this truth that Paul put out, this mystery that he put out that God had hidden. And I don't know where he was martyred or not. I don't know how he died, but either way, or whatever way, it was given him the last thing that man was supposed to get. And the duty that he was to fulfill for God that his people never did do. He never did fully fulfill that. The promise of life in Christ Jesus was a constant theme of Paul's ministry. The promise of life which is in Christ Jesus was a constant theme.
What's that? John 1.
When he came as God's man to the earth, because he was man's God and he was God's man. See, God broke him down and gave him that 33 years to have a testimony of his own. And to have a hope that was to be centered in him and what he accomplished and what he was to accomplish. And as I said, it ain't over yet. But here we are. The promise of life which is in Christ Jesus are the promises centered on the life and in and on the Savior head. because the Savior is there as head. The body is going to be those that were chosen. Were you chosen before the world was ever made? Does Christ dwell in you through the Holy Spirit? Sure he does. If you've been chosen, Christ is there in the spirit of the in the fact of the Holy Spirit. The promise to the Jewish nation and people concerning the Abrahamic shadow of Christ are not the same as those promised enjoyed by the body believers in the head, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's something that hard to, I know this, it's hard to tell a Baptist person that. I had a long time to do that with my wife. But we got it. But we got it worked out. That wasn't a problem. We got it worked out. So here we are. Whether it's Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. But the Abrahamic shadow of Christ was not the same. See, to Abraham, promises were made. And these people were to do what God had shown them to do, and they never really ever fulfilled it the way that he wanted it done. But there was something down the road that wasn't here yet. It was here, but it wasn't known. So this is what 2 Timothy is all about. It is the departure. And once that's taken care of, you've got whatever it is, that's all you got. And that's all you're going to get until you get a new body. When you get a new body, you get a new life. We don't know exactly the details of all that. Here we are. And let's look at the notes that's been left here. And I'll shuffle the book around a little bit and get it where we can find out what Jack wanted to see. Let's go to the book of John. The Gospel of John first. And we're going to go to a good place to start is in John 1. And in John 1, we're going to look at verse 4. And that's on page 1512 if you have a companion Bible. And it says this. All things were made by him, talking about the Son of God, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4. This is what we want to look at to begin with. In him was life. Now that seems to be simple. But it's not simple because life isn't simple. Never has been. And the life was the light of men. So the light was always the Son of God. And we realize that the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehends it not. Because men, in the very beginning, through Satan, chose darkness. They didn't care for light because light shineth in truth. The lie is always in darkness, in the sense of darkness. That I wanted you to see, along with Jack. Okay, we're going to go from that to the 11th chapter of John. And in John 11, I'm going to have to do a little bit because that's the page that I was on the night that the cat tore that page in my Bible.
You know, we sell them.
Well, yeah, but I've got one, but I don't. I got all my notes in this one. In 25. And I believe I can read it. Hold on just a minute. We're going to look at 11:25. And that's on page 1546. I don't have the page number, but I looked in the other Bible and got it. I've got another one, so don't. It says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Meaning that even if you do die, you will have life again. And he says, believe thou this, when he was talking to Martha about her brother Lazarus, I think. Pretty sure that's what it was. And the cat got me that night. So he jumped up on the table. And I'm still living with that. Don't have to, but I do. John 14. John 14. We're going to look at 5 and 6. That's on page 1555. John 14, I said 5 and 6. Okay. And Thomas was in this deal before Christ returned back up in the heavens. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way. And I'll just put, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. That's pretty clear, pretty instinctive language to grasp. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And how you get there is through or by me. And that for certainty is truth. And it certainly is truth for today. He goes on to say, if you've known me, you've known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. So, there we are. With the basics of what we're talking about here. Now, I want you to go with me to Acts 13. Acts 13, we're going to look at 21 through 25 on page 1611. 21 through 25, talking about people wanting a king. And it said, and afterwards they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Sis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And that includes all his wishes and desires. 23. Now this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but he, but behold, or see to this, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loosen. Oh my goodness. Think about that for a minute. Romans is on the list next, I think. Let's see, Romans 6, 8 through 11. Okay, and that's on page 1673. 8 through 11. Now, if we be dead with Jesus, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Christ paid for our sins and died for us in the payment thereof. And so death doesn't have any more hold on him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Plain and simple, folks. It's just that plain and simple. If you come to the point in your life that you allow the Holy Spirit to come in, He will lead, guide, and direct you the rest of your life while you're here on the earth. And whatever it is that God needs, He'll carry to the Son of God sitting at the right hand of the Father. And then when He appears, you will be ready. You will be ready to appear with him and be part of his body.
Amen.
That's just as simple as we can say it, really. Okay. While we're in Romans, let's go over to chapter 8. And in chapter 8, there, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. In chapter 8, and that's on page 1677, 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's like him laying the blocks of the brick of a building. It's one right after the other. Yeah. And it goes, and it goes, and it goes. The next one is 2 Corinthians. I've got it. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 4. 7 through 11, that's on page 1783. 7 through 11. Here we go. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That is, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Okay, another block in the wall there. Okay, we're going to Galatians 2. That's the reason I like these things. I like to go back and put them, not necessarily in the order that Jack had them, but still in the way that we can understand it. 2 Corinthians 4. Now, wait a minute.
Galatians 2.
Galatians 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Galatians 2, 19 and 20. This is on page 1752. It says, For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Full stop. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We got that one down. Okay, that's Galatians 2. We're going to go to Galatians 3, 29. We're going to turn a page. And we're going to look at the last verse in chapter 3. That's on page 1754. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. That's going back a dispensation. And remember that. Okay, let me turn my page over and I'll tell you where we're going to go to next, because boy, he laid it on us here. Philippians 1:20. Page 1774, we're going to look at 20 and 21. Philippians 1:20 and 21. It says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. This is what Paul has said. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We're going to Colossians 3. And I told you, here we go, Colossians 3. We're going to look at verses 2 through 4, page 1781. We're going to look at 3 and 4. And I can't hardly read this without reading the whole thing. Let's read from 3, 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. So we get bits of information out of all these. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. How does that get there? I often wonder. But when my wife died that afternoon, I almost expected the door to open. But it didn't have to. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, woo, then ye shall also appear with him in glory, wherever that is. Wherever he is, it'll be glorious. And so it'll be glory wherever it is when we become part of him. It will be that way. Okay. I want to look at one more, or two more. 1 Timothy 4. First Timothy 4:4-8. First Timothy 4. Okay. 1 Timothy 4:4-8, 1804. Says, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Full stop. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, listen to this, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come.
Cover them both.
Yeah. To have that hope is a great thing. Okay. Now I'm going to look at 1 John 5. And First John 5. We're going to look at 11 and 12. And that's on page 1876. And this is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Plain and simple, isn't it? Paul didn't mince words. John didn't mince words. These men of God that took on this great thing that was given, said it as plain and as straight as they got it from the mouth of the Father, or however they got it.
But they don't believe that any more than they believe that men and women are just male and female. We got to have 14 genders.
Yeah.
All that garbage. Yeah. And this is the same way. You know, you don't.
Right. Okay, I'm out of time. And I just got through the one verse that I supposed to got through last week. So, this is necessary, folks. This is truly something that we need to really bear down with and look on to, because, you know, this entails the whole scope of what we've got now. And when Christ Jesus comes back onto the earth again, he's got a job to do. And part of that job is to fulfill his body. And when he fulfills the body, he takes care of Israel that never got to see Christ or never got to know Christ. And all these things that was left undone, or not yet, as we understand the word to say sometimes. Not yet. That all these things needs to be known, and we need to bear down on our study of taking care of the truth in this day and age. Never seen it so bad. And it won't be but a few days till I'll be 85 years old. And while I backed off on writing my life for a little while, but I got to get back on it. But the fact is, coming up in my early years, I thought, I'd go with Mom to a theater in Barberton, Ohio, where Dad was working. And we'd go there once or twice a week, but they'd show different movies and things, but they would also show how the war was going on. It was a kind of the beginning of
the newsreel.
It was kind of like a newsreel, you know. And I'd look at that, and they'd show the bombings, and they'd show the killings, and all the things that was going on over there in the war. And I came up with the idea early on in my life that I blamed the war on everything. And that was not an untrue statement there for a while. Because from the time I was heard and seen that at this every week or two, I got it renewed in my mind. And it's hard for me to sit down now and look at what's going on in the world and seeing all this death and destruction and things going on in the world that people want to take away from some people and give to somebody else. So, you know, so it don't seem like sometimes I've gotten very far in my life, but yet it's about gone. And so I sometimes sit there and cry a little bit, and it don't hurt a man to cry if he's doing it for the right reason.
Amen.
If he's doing it, if it's being done for the love of mankind and for the love of seeing things that you can't do anything about other than pray for, and to realize that it's all going to be taken care of sooner or later, but not yet. And not yet, it was my theme for today. Not yet. So thank you, Ronnie, for the privilege and the honor of sitting with you at the table and taking care of some of these things, but it's not all done yet.
No, amen. My pleasure. Enjoyed it.
God bless us, Lord. Thank you.